The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up and welcome to The Art of Being Well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. We get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. If you want to learn more about our clinical work, the telehealth center, we have brand new telehealth patient options open for everybody around the world, and lots of free resources for you to reclaim your health. It's all at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, we're giving away free healthy stuff. You know, if you listen to the podcast, about every episode, we're giving away free healthy things like free telehealth consults with the team and I. We're giving away, what else? Free signed books, free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com. All you have to do for a chance to win is head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of your review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, my team and I will be going through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves. I read them all. Thank you so much for the kind words. We'll pick a winner every month and we'll reach out to you and you can pick what you want. Good luck. About every month, we have entire episodes devoted to your health questions. So continue bringing them in. You can email. I mess this up every time. What's the email, Emily F?
Hello@drwillcole.com.
Email hello@drwillcole.com. And we will aggregate all your questions. We put it on a Google Doc and we'll get to as many of them as possible in these Ask Me Anything episodes. So to help me out every Ask Me Anything episode, we have somebody on the patient team with me, who's one of our lead functional diagnostic nutrition practitioners. Been working together for a long time. Emily, what's up?
Hello. Yeah, excited to be here.
And the truth is, this is the truth. Emily is on maternity leave right now. She just had a sweet little baby girl, and she just loves the pod so freaking much that she stopped into the telehealth center to talk to you all.
I can't miss it. I mean, hey, we have too much fun here, so.
That's passion, baby. And then on the logistics side of things, she's on e-commerce, patient logistics side of things to ask the patient team the question. We have Emily F. What's up?
Hello. People don't know, but like, it's been about a month since you've heard Emily Miller, but it's also been about a month since we've seen her. So like we haven't seen her really
the
either.
The band is back together.
Yes.
The band is
We're going
back.
On tour.
For
the
you
boys
all.
Are back.
Yeah. So Emily F. coordinates with the telehealth patient team and I to get our telehealth patients their protocols and everything that they need so they get the best care imaginable. So she looks at all your questions and she will ask Emily M and I. So this is kind of a hot topic, Ask Me Anything. Things that are trending in the media as far as nutrition, health science, wellness, or some trending research that is in the scientific literature. So all that good stuff. So what's the first one?
Yeah. So a trend we've been seeing on social and like in restaurants on their menus are plant-based meats. And the people want to know, what's our take on that?
So there's a lot of plant-based alternatives when it comes to meats. I mean, there's the classic black bean burger or quinoa burger or something like that, that we've seen in the health space for decades. And there's still brands that do that. And then there's more food tech burgers that simulate meat. They even bleed using soy fermentation. So it looks like it's bleeding like a meat burger, which is different than your classic. It looks like plants all packed together, like a black bean or quinoa or rice burger or something like that. So the two main companies in this space of food tech burgers are Impossible Burger and Beyond Burger. And what's my take on it is that, you know, it's more, I'm not a fan of some of the ingredients, and some of the ingredients are pretty innocuous. Altogether, there's a lot of variables to consider when you look at ingredients that some people could have digestive problems with it. It's not the most nutrient dense. It's certainly not the most bioavailable nutrient dense food with a lot of variables from a digestive standpoint. And as somebody who works on improving people's gut health and lowering inflammation levels, it's not my top pick for sure. I don't like the hyperbolic extreme statements on the other side that throw around ultra processed, like lots of things are processed in the health food space that make our life more convenient. That doesn't necessarily mean bad. Obviously, whole real foods are primary, but there's a lot of concessions pragmatically that we make within the health community, no matter what your own bent and perspective is, as far as processed. And it's, no one's going to disagree, it's less optimal than whole foods. So I don't think it's easy. It's not easy enough to say, well, it's highly processed equals bad. With that said, I will say Whole Foods CEO John Mackey, who is a vegan, who is plant-based, last time I checked, he said that the Beyond Burger and the Impossible Burger, his quote is, they are super highly processed foods. So he wasn't a fan of it as a vegan. Chipotle CEO Brian Nickel said, we have spoken to those folks, the Beyond and Impossible, and unfortunately, it wouldn't fit in our food with integrity principles because of the processing coming from Chipotle. So it is very interesting. Massive companies, obviously in their own right, supportive of plant-based. Chipotle has the Sofritas plant-based option at Chipotle, but they're not a fan of the amount of additives in these things. So I really took a deep dive for telehealth patients when these came out. And then I keep an eye on it because their ingredient list keeps changing and evolving. One of them, the Beyond Burger, is coming out with their Burger 4, the IV 4 version, their fourth iteration, it seems, to be made with avocado oil. The ingredients, let me break this down. It has water, this is the Beyond one, water, pea protein, expeller pressed canola oil, which they're seeing the people like podcasts like this that are talking about industrial seed oils as not being something that I would recommend. It can be pro-inflammatory. It's not high quality. It's oxidative. And I've been talking about that for years. So more and more people are being educated from us in the functional medicine and nutritionist space, and they're getting alternatives with avocado oil. So my assumption is they would swap out that canola oil for avocado oil in this fourth version of the Beyond Burger. There's refined coconut oil, there's rice protein, natural flavors, which that's ambiguous, dried yeast, cocoa butter, methyl cellulose, which a lot of the negative press around the methyl cellulose, just because it looks weird doesn't necessarily mean it is weird. It's from plant starch. It is processed. It is refined. But is it? I haven't seen any compelling data saying methyl cellulose is bad. And less than 1% of potato starch, salt, potassium chloride, beet juice color, apple extract, pomegranate concentrate, sunflower, lecithin, vinegar, lemon juice, vitamins, minerals, because they have to put these vitamins in because it's not naturally in here in adequate amounts. Zinc sulfite, niacinamide, vitamin B3, vitamin B6, the cyanocobalamin, vitamin B12, like a derivative of that, and calcium. So it's just when you're looking at real whole foods, grass-fed beef has all these vitamins in naturally and more, way more. So it is a highly processed food, yes. Are the ingredients the worst? No, they're not. You know, there's some things that I'm glad they're making the switch from canola oil to avocado oil. But my problem is I could never eat this because it would really mess up my digestion. It's just too much processed plant foods. I don't do well with it. But could there be a vegan person out there that wants to have it? Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to shame them, or they're killing themselves because they're having it. It's just not the most nutrient dense food that's going to love most human gastrointestinal systems back. So that'd be my thought. And similar ingredients for the Impossible Burger. I'm not going to go through that, but it's basically the same with a few exceptions. But Emily, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. One, I do like that these companies are starting, like Beyond are starting to listen to people and starting to listen to these things that we need to change, you know, the switching to avocado oil. Like, I like that they're giving better options. But as you said, I think that we really have to look at the biohacking end of this too, because sometimes we are, and you know, all the time, we should be looking at our body's needs and what our body can do and what it can handle. And we should be feeding it based on how we feel, based on the needs of it too. And there are times, you know, I think that we get into these extreme places where it's like, oh, you should only be eating carnivore, you should only be eating vegan. And there's these worlds that have really clashed for so long. And if you really just look at, like how you said, like, well, what's going to make me feel good? We should be basing it off of that. But I mean, at the end of the day, even things like this, in my opinion, I wouldn't bring these in as staples because you're right, they're not whole foods. Do I think it's bad if you have it every once in a while? I think there's balance across the board. But with how much this is growing, and when you get into a plant-based diet like this too, I do think you start to lean so much heavier on these things for the satisfaction and the satiety of it all too. And so that's where I can see issues with it. One, because it could exacerbate the digestive issues or different issue, health issues in general too. But if someone is trying to just use it as balance, that's fine. I just don't think that we see that as often. I think we see people lean heavily on these things, which can be very problematic.
Yeah. If you listen to the podcast any given time, you may know that I don't drink alcohol. No, I'm not going to judge you if you do. And I'm going to give you better for you alternatives if you do drink, pragmatically. And that's what I have to do with telehealth patients. But I don't drink personally. But I'm not living a bleak, teetotaling, puritanical, cardboard life. I am drinking and eating lots of delicious things that love me back. I don't feel like crap the next day. Something that I love in this category that's a non-alcoholic, sparkling drink is hop water. You could see it as like a mocktail alcohol alternative, but it's called hop water, spelled H-O-P-W-T-R. It's a non-alcoholic sparkling hop water infused with mood-boosting adaptogens and brain-enhancing nootropics, and it's so freaking delicious. Not only is hop water non-alcoholic, it has zero calories, zero carbs, zero sugar. It won't bust up your diet. And I love that it has ashwagandha and L-theanine. These mood-boosting and stress-busting ingredients are perfect to help you unwind after a stressful day. They come in amazing flavors. They have the classic one, which is crisp, citrusy, piney. There's the mango, there's blood orange, there's lime, there's peach. You can get a mixed pack so you can try all the different flavors. And they have these bigger cans that I've got as well that are extra hoppy. There's so many options. Check them all out, guys. Hop water is positively refreshing. I know you'll love it. Right now, I have a special offer just for my listeners. 20% off your first purchase. Plus, you'll get free shipping when you order 24 cans or more. To get this offer, go to my exclusive URL, hopwater.com/Will Cole. That's HOPWTR.com/Will Cole. Don't wait. Go to hopwtr.com/Will Cole. If you listen to the podcast, you know gut health is crucial for your overall health, which is why a brand that I love in this category that supports gut health is Pendulum Probiotics. They're the only company that manufactures and sells live Akkermansia in the United States, which is a keystone strain of bacteria that's getting tons of buzz for its role in gut health. Akkermansia strengthens the gut lining and reduces gut permeability or leaky gut syndrome based on in vitro studies. Pendulum also carries a powerful multi-strain probiotic called Metabolic Daily. It's formulated by PhD doctors and scientists from Johns Hopkins, Harvard, Berkeley, and Stanford. Metabolic Daily includes Akkermansia and other next-generation strains of probiotics. This best-selling probiotic helps metabolize sugars and carbs and converts food into energy more efficiently to improve your metabolism based on in vitro studies. Plus, it also sustains energy levels for you throughout the day. Visit PendulumLife.com. Use code WILLCOOL at checkout for 20% off your first month membership. That's PendulumLife.com, PendulumLife.com. And then there you're going to use code WILLCOOL at checkout, all one word, WILLCOOLE, for 20% off your first month of membership. Again, go right now to PendulumLife.com. Use code WILLCOOL at checkout for 20% off your first month membership. I've looked into the sort of financial marketing interests of these companies, this food tech, the Beyond and Impossible. Their main bent was towards the sort of plant-based curious, the vegan curious omnivore out there, because they already have the vegan sold out for it, right? They're going to go for it. Apparently not John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO. But a lot of them are going to say, yeah, they're going to have that. If that's their only option in a restaurant, they're going to go for that because it's vegan. My whole thought about this is, why do they want something that looks like it's bleeding from soy? Like, why do they want, I thought if they hate meat that much, why do they want it to look like it's bleeding? That's the worst part of it.
I feel like you hear people say of like, oh my gosh, you know, they see an actual burger that's bleeding and they're like, that's so gross.
Yeah,
like,
the average omnivore is going to be grossed out by that.
No, like if that were me, I'd be like, no, give me the black bean burger that just looks plain.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I have in the past had black bean burgers or quinoa, like mixtures of quinoa and a very basic ingredients. And they're not my favorite, but I can appreciate them.
Yes.
You know what you're getting.
Exactly.
You're not trying to pretend to be something you're not.
Because it is. It's like you look at it and you're like, that's not natural. Like,
I don't want my soy to bleed.
No, I don't like that.
Yeah, the sofritas at Chipotle, which does not bleed, is organic and non-GMO, which I did not know.
I didn't know that either.
Kudos to them. And not maybe some questionable ingredients for some people, but that's Chipotle was, they were cool with the organic non-GMO sofritas. Yeah. They were not a fan. The CEO was not a fan of the Beyond and Impossible fitting their food with integrity criteria. It's interesting from a sales standpoint. I read reports that a lot of investors are turning their back on these food tech industries like Impossible and Beyond. And some of the most recent data has found these main analogs suffered a 21% drop in sales volume, according to the Circana data, while dollar sales have fallen by over 20% too over the last year. This is looking over 2023 into 2024. So they have a messaging problem, and these sort of alt meat analog companies, because I read one of the CEOs mentioned to an outlet not too long ago that there was this elitism, he coined, this is his quote, not mine, a wokeism about Beyond Impossible, where it almost seems like it's more of a bi-coastal LA, New York thing. And the average American's like, this isn't for me. Like, maybe try it once, it's not that good. And they're gonna move on because they're not a vehement vegan who really wants their plant-based foods to bleed. It's like, it's not a big thing.
Yeah.
This is always going to be here to stay. It's going to be some vegan iteration of this. I just don't know if it's going to be this. It's going to last in a couple of years. I think it's going to probably have to improve taste-wise, I would assume.
Yeah, I would agree with that too. And again, there's also, like, you think about the other options too, where it's like the cauliflower-based options, like where they have like the cauliflower chicken nuggets, or they call it like the cauliflower steak, or, you know, you go to a restaurant, you can get chicken parmesan, or like the cauliflower chicken parmesan, which
so
is
so much cauliflower.
So much cauliflower.
We're expecting too much of cauliflower.
We really are. We've put it in a difficult position.
Yeah, it's like all things to all people.
And again, like that Paul. Could still, due to its, you know, FODMAPs too, that could still be problematic for some people, but at least it's a whole food. At least it's a vegetable if you are someone that can have it too. I mean, to me, like there's still like other options out there too. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say this, that some of the other bad press that these Impossible and Beyond is that there was trace amounts of glyphosate found in these burgers. Ooh. Again, bad press, bad headline, but we know because we measure this on patients. Yeah. There's trace amounts of glyphosate in lots of foods. So I can have a more balanced approach with some of the bad press these burgers get because, yeah, a lot of our food's contaminated by this junk. A lot of our food is processed.
Well, that's just like, you know, there could be people in the carnivore world who just say that about any vegetable too. It's going to be sprayed with chemicals, so don't eat it. You hear the toxicity on... Mm-hmm. On both ends.
There is a brand that I do like that we have, let me say this very clearly, we have plant-based telehealth patients because of religious or ethical reasons, and we want to make the best for you version of that and optimize it as far as nutrient density, good for your gut, anti-inflammatory, meeting them where they're at pragmatically.
Yeah.
So there's a company, I have no financial affiliation, I just like the ingredients, and this is not sponsored, it's Abbott's. Is a good brand if you're looking for a better option here. It has pea protein, mushrooms, onions, tomato paste, chickpea flour, nutritional yeast. But their big point here is quality. Top 9 allergen-free. There's no gluten. There's no soy. There's no gum. There's no artificial flavors. There's no natural flavors and no canola oil. So it's simpler ingredients and it looks more like a classic veggie burger.
And the last thing I'll say too is like, you know, I know that this isn't really like a hot or not, but it is a trending topic. You know, you go on social media, whether it's TikTok, Pinterest, Instagram, I mean, you are seeing people teach you how to even make these alternative things too and like healthier versions of at least using not as processed products like this and making it yourself, you know, getting a food processor or whatnot to kind of help that too. So again, there's balance to it all. But I mean, if you can do it in a better way like that or find a better option, like you mentioned, Dr. Cole, then I think that that's a great start for somebody. But at the end of the day, you have to look at what your body needs and what makes it feel good.
What's the next hot topic?
Okay. So Dr. Cole, you touched on this a little bit ago, but maybe we can dig a little deeper into the topic. Social media was buzzing for a while over a statement made by the Kellogg CEO that families with strained finances should consider cereal for dinner.
I read this when it came out. The Kellogg CEO, because of rising food costs, inflation, and grocery bills going up, right? He suggested that we have cereal for dinner because historically, cereals are a lot less money than other types of meals. And, you know, it's not a surprising. He's the CEO of Kellogg's. You have to consider the source and be okay. The guy's only job is to improve sales of Kellogg's. So, you know, it's nothing new. I mean, you look at the history of Kellogg's and John Harvey Kellogg and his brother, I think he was named William Kellogg, really wanted breakfast, the whole adage of breakfast being the most important meal of the day largely came from turn of the 20th century advertising marketing from the Kellogg family and them as subsequently as a company. And over the course of all of our lives, that was the mantras on the commercials and what we were told from our parents, many of us were. So it came from this. It was really good PR and marketing for the 20th century. And it doesn't mean breakfast can't be wonderful and amazing. It's just not going to involve Kellogg cereal, I would contest. So I understand why. Their sales are probably dipping. I don't know their sales, but I would assume their sales are dipping too because of the economy and the fact that people are looking for better for you options. Just like we saw the food tech industry taking a dip, I think that the cereal industry is taking a dip as well. And he's trying to take any angle dude can get. And he's trying, okay, give us dinner, please. Have it with dinner. But we know this is a massive issue because 93% of the United States has a massive metabolic problem. And breakfast is already dessert for many people where they're having different carbs and sweets and sugary things in different iterations, whether it's cereal or pastries or some, you know, some sort of juice. And it's a lot of fructose. It's a lot of refined sugar, not a lot of fiber. So if you make 2 out of 3 meals cereal or something like it, can you imagine? It would feed even more chronic disease. Pepsi CEO recently said in an industry event that similarly, we should consider as Americans to have chips and pretzels with our dinner as a side. as an appetizer. Yummy. And again, sales are probably dipping. They're trying to come up with innovative ways to spin this to the average American. But we have a massive inflammatory problem in our world, and this is not going to be good for us. I have some other thoughts, but I'll kick it over to you, Emily. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, one, I do think you have to look at why these things are being said in the first place. As you said, it's coming from these CEOs. And if you actually look at the decline in their sales too, I mean, obviously there's going to be an agenda there too, a little bit. They want people to buy their products. But I think it's a huge problem. I mean, you know, we know in general, of course, food prices are increasing just based on inflation and the economy right now. But like, if you look at the study that's done on people who are having these on a regular basis, I know there was a Harvard study that even tested people who have oatmeal versus an omelet for breakfast. And the people who had oatmeal, and I think they tested instant oatmeal versus steel cut oatmeal too, but the people who had the instant oatmeal consumed 700 more calories a day than the people who had an omelet. And that was something that I know Mark Hyman talked a lot about, but it was a study done even just a couple of years ago. And to me, if you're having that for breakfast and for dinner, I mean, yeah, you're going to see tons of metabolic issues there. And I just, I really think that one, you know, the simplicity of cooking, you know, it can overwhelm people, or the complexity of it. Because I, you know, obviously people are trying to work, they're trying to create routine within their life. So it is easy to just kind of pull out the cereal or pull out a snack and kind of call that a meal. We see that with a lot of patients sometimes where it's like, oh, I don't really have these meals, these sit down meals. I'm more of a grazer. And we really spend a lot of time educating people on, you know, it's not about having a perfect diet by any means. If anything, we want to break that mindset in people, but we should be intentional, because if you're not intentional about what you're putting in your body, then yeah, you are going to deviate to just grabbing something, and then you end up not feeling good and you don't even know what it is, what's exacerbating it. And it just leads to a range of issues down the line. And then you kind of feel like, well, what did I do? What happened here? And it can be hard to sometimes come out of those habits too, a little bit. You know, some things we see as habitual, some things, you know, we see as taste preferences where people are like, oh, I don't like to eat vegetables, or I don't like to eat seafood or whatnot. And of course, if you've created that habit and that taste preference for so long, it can be difficult to adjust to. So in my opinion, I mean, I think this could be incredibly dangerous if we do see a rise in this happening, because you're going to see people 5-10 years down the line who, you know, we're going to see a rise in diabetes and all sorts of
even more
there.
So I mean, it was compounding. Could you imagine that? We were talking about, it's already killing people. I agree with you. And I'm thinking of the amount of granola bars, the sugary granola bars that are basically cereal in a package too. As a functional medicine doctor, my day job for new telehealth patients and beyond is looking at labs. And I have to tell you, with new telehealth patients, something that is ubiquitous that I see in almost every new telehealth patient lab is low magnesium RBC. Magnesium is responsible for hundreds of different pathways in the body, from our immune system to our brain function, regulating our hormones, focus, energy, sleep, digestion, so many things. So when your magnesium is low, you're not going to feel your best. A company that I love that's doing very innovative things in the magnesium space is a product called Magnesium Breakthrough. Magnesium Breakthrough is a science-backed, effective formula of magnesium that can help so many different things in your body. Solve your sleep problems, if you're struggling with feeling nervous system dysregulation, anxiety, if you're tossing and turning at night, if you're waking up groggy, if you're struggling with brain fog, Magnesium Breakthrough is a great tool to consider for your toolbox. Unlike other magnesium supplements that might give you 1 to 2 forms of magnesium, Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to help you calm your mind, help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling refreshed. Over 75% of the population is magnesium deficient, guys. And what most people don't know is that even if they're taking a magnesium supplement, which a lot of people are, they're still deficient because they're not getting all 7 forms. Magnesium Breakthrough is the ultimate way to give your body all 7 forms in 1 supplement. Very simple. Don't miss out on the most relaxing sleep ever with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to buyoptimizers.com/WillCole. Use promo code WillCole during checkout to save 10%. I'm so excited to share with you guys an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. C15 is the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in 90 years. And get this, studies have confirmed that it's 3 times better, broader, and safer than omega-3. Here's the backstory. The Fatty 15 co-founder, Dr. Stephanie Van Watson, if you haven't heard my conversation, go back and listen to the episode. She discovered C15 as the first essential fatty acid to be found in, again, over 90 years, while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. This backstory is going to blow your mind. It's pretty simple. Essential nutrients keep ourselves healthy, which keeps us healthy. If you want to get sciencey about it, studies show that C15 works by strengthening our cells, improving our mitochondrial function, and protecting us against damaging free radicals. The result? Better long-term metabolic health, liver health, and heart health. It ends up many of us are deficient in C15, this essential fatty acid, which results in weaker cellular health that makes less energy on a cellular level, and our cells quit working earlier than they should. All of that makes us age faster, sleep poorly, feeling sluggish. This sounds familiar for many people, sadly. Fatty 15 is a science-backed, award-winning, vegan-friendly, and pure C15 supplement. By replenishing ourselves with that essential C15 nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs our cells and restores our long-term health. Go science, right, guys? Fatty 15 is on a mission to replenish your C15 levels and restore your long-term health. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/WillCole and use code WillCole at checkout. Jason Karp is a friend of mine. He is the founder of Hue. We all love Hue chocolate.
Yes, we do.
And Hue Kitchen, the restaurant formerly open in New York. You need to bring it back, Jason.
Oh, we need it.
I miss it. I miss it. But anyways, I'll have to settle for the chocolate bars. He's involved with True Food Kitchen, which we love. He's surprisingly, when I saw him post this and subsequently the New York Post and other media outlets are covering it, he's also an investor in Kellogg's. My assumption is he wants to change the company by getting involved with it. But he's seeking legal action against Kellogg's as a company because he claimed in the note from his lawyer, in pursuit of short-term profits, Kellogg fills in most ubiquitous cereal products in the United States with harmful artificial dyes such as red dye 40, yellow 6, blue 1, as well as the preservative BHT. Kellogg knows that these artificial additives can cause harm in children, Karp says. In addition to considerations of organ damage, cancer, birth defects, and allergic reactions, mixtures of dyes cause hyperactivity and other behavioral problems in some children. He said, following the science, the EU, European Union, required food companies to put a warning label on products with these ingredients, stating that they may have an adverse effect on activity and attention in children. So the entire EU has a warning sign on these ingredients, and we still get them. So if you compare the American Fruit Loops, which is made by Kellogg's, versus the Canadian and the UK version. In the US, with that sweet little toucan on the front of that, I mean, it's just so cute. We have red 40, yellow 5, yellow 6, blue, BHT for freshness. In Canada and the UK and other parts of the world, they have concentrated watermelon juice for color. Concentrated blueberry juice for color. Stevia leaf extract in theirs versus ours. So yes, they still have corn flour, wheat flour, and all this other carbohydrate stuff that we're talking about. So besides the refined carbohydrate, we allow things in the United States that are illegal, have a warning sign on it in other countries. So that's a whole other level because that's behavioral excitotoxicity, nervous system dysregulation issues, and obviously the autoimmune potentiality with this as well. Pretty shocking.
I saw someone random that just said, like, America, how can you be okay with people outside of America getting the same brands without the same ingredients because they're illegal in our country. But like, it's okay for you to have these chemicals and these processings put into your versions of it, which is like, it makes you think like, oh, that's weird that like you can get the same thing, but it's a lot less, you know, a lot less dangerous to put in your body. Yeah. I mean, even the Environmental Working Group tested a lot of these very popular cereals that have been around for a long time. And, you know, talk about glyphosate like we did with the Beyond Burger and those brands too. I mean, they tested glyphosate samples in all of these popular brands, and it was found in every single one of them above the benchmark that really should be, you know, not that it's healthy at any level, but above what it should be for safe consumption. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, talking about all of these things too, it's really something that I would keep to a minimum if you're going to have it, like a very, very minimum. I don't think that it should be on a daily basis at all, let alone twice a day.
Yeah. So good on him for trying.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not, you know, to be honest with you, I'm making light of it. It's actually horrible advice.
It's the worst advice.
Consider the messenger.
It's a not if we were going to do hot or not. Yes, it's a total
it's a
not.
A massive not. But the problem is there's a lot of uninformed people out there. I don't know. Maybe I'm not probably not giving people enough credit. Would someone that's not informed hear that and be like, yeah, that's a good idea? Maybe. Maybe they saw a spike in sales because of their like, that's a great dinner idea. Fruit Loops. I want to meet that person and I want to help them out.
You know, I won't lie though. Like,
you're
cereal,
meeting her right now.
Cereal?
Oh my gosh.
Cereal like, when you're pregnant is different than when you're not.
I'm like,
pregnant.
So you're saying I should throw away the Fruity Pebbles that are in my cabinet right now?
Oh, there are some better options for cereals.
You do not have Fruity Pebbles.
I have two boxes of Fruity Pebbles.
Wait, what?
I'm pregnant.
You're announcing this on the podcast for the first time.
Hopefully my announcement to my family goes out before this does.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah, no. I mean, I personally was on, like, I'll be the first to say, I grew up in like a household where without that like education of like health and wellness and stuff, like that is literally some things I would have for dinner. Yes. Sometimes I would have like a Rice Krispie treat, or I'd have like some chips. And like,
I
will say,
oatmeal for breakfast. Yes. Like, that was what my dad made every morning.
And I'm like, I mean, I'm not.
Big Don made peasant food.
Shout out to Big Don.
I got peasant food for breakfast every morning.
Porridge.
Please, sir, can I have some more? Oh, tiny shame.
I will also say, like, I'm not like faulting my parents or anything because, like, they didn't, you know.
They didn't know any better.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so much more education and, you know, stuff about that now. But I will say, like, my metabolism and like just all of the systems in my body in general have suffered because of my diet when I was younger. And now I'm also the most picky eater I've ever met in my life. So I can't, I try so hard to eat like healthy and introduce new stuff for me that I know is good for me. And I literally just like, I'm like, ugh, this isn't grilled cheese and Campbell's tomato soup, or this isn't Kraft mac and cheese.
Oh, let's find you something better than Fruity Pebbles.
Okay, there are, if you need to have cereal, there are definitely some.
So let's help her out. She's not on the patient team.
Give me some.
Let's coach her right now.
Okay, there's a brand called Three Wishes.
I love them.
Again, I have no affiliation with these brands. I just found them. They're really good. They're, you know, they have no corn, no rice, no dairy, no oats. They are allergen friendly, gluten free. And again, you know, still, I wouldn't say is the most amazing ingredients. Yeah. I think it's pea protein, does have some organic cane sugar, cinnamon, monk fruit, salt.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot better, you know, ingredients. And it does have some plant protein in it as well. So you're getting that. I know Magic Spoon is another.
Yeah, Magic Spoon. Check out Magic Spoon. Check out Lovebird. Has made with cassava, coconut oil, Himalayan salt. They have a lot of different.
They have granola too, right? Or something
I believe
like that.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options there. And I don't see anything about Fruity Pebbles on this list from us.
And Magic Spoon has a fruity flavor. And they have, I mean, again, they have protein.
I'll try it
too. So
you'll be happy to know though that one of the boxes I bought it like a month and a half ago, and I just haven't touched it.
So it's
not
there
open.
In case
I need it.
Emergency. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Let's call out the obvious, shall we? Everyone wants to head into the bedroom with confidence, feeling like the best version of themselves, right? The problem is sometimes our thoughts get in the way of our performance, or maybe we feel like we're just not reaching our full potential. What are our options? You can pick up a sketchy gas station pill, which I would not recommend, or get prescribed a drug with a long list of potential side effects. That's where our friends over at Joy Mode come in. Imagine a supplement you can take, like your favorite greens packet, that gives you that extra dose of confidence and saves you the embarrassment and hassle of a traditional erection pill. Joy Mode's sexual performance booster is an all-natural and science-backed solution to increase blood flow, firmness, stamina, and performance. It comes in a palm-sized packet, like your favorite electrolyte powder. Stir it into 6 to 8 ounces of water 45 minutes before sexual activity and watch the magic unfold. Literally, guys, not only is this the only supplement you need in the bedroom, it also supports blood vessels, cardiovascular health, athletic performance, blood pressure, and so much more. This formula contains clinically supported doses of arginine nitrate, L-citrulline, Panax ginseng, and vitamin C to, again, support erection quality, firmness, and sex drive. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. Go to usejoymode.com and get 20% off with code WILLCOOL at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code WILLCOOL at usejoymode.com. Great sex solved naturally.
Hi, we're Carlene and Jill, hosts of Breaking Beauty Podcast, the show all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty.
On our show, you're going to find hella inspiring guests like Emily Weiss of Glossier,
and you'll get beauty tips galore from the top pros in the industry, like Kim Kardashian's makeup guru, and you'll hear skincare secrets from the likes of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Plus, you'll get shopping help with our Damn Goods episodes, where we review the latest products hitting store shelves to let you know what's actually worth your money.
Listen every Wednesday to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
I feel like, and we've talked about it a lot on the podcast as well, we see so many claims for better health with getting like X amount of steps a day, but there's apparently research that suggests getting 15,000 steps a day could add 3 years to your life expectancy.
Yeah, this is out of the London School of Economics. It showed that sustaining a healthy exercise habit of at least 5,000 steps 3 times per week for 2 years can add up to 3 years to your life expectancy and reduce healthcare costs, hence the London School of Economics, by up to 13%. The study was called the Vitality Habit Index and mapped the behaviors of and habits of 1 million people determined in the UK and South Africa, determine the best ways to form and maintain healthy habits and understand the science of how healthy habits can lead to longer, healthier lives. So let me read some of the data. I'm going to scroll down to this part of the study. Small changes to create and sustain healthier habits could have a significant impact on individuals' health outcomes. Major positive impacts were seen across all age groups, for everybody listening. However, this was particularly true for older generations, showing that it's never too late to start. People aged 65 and older saw a 52% reduction in their mortality risk after sustaining a habit of 7,500 steps 3 or more times per week. This is significantly greater than those aged between 45 and 65 who saw a 38% reduction in their mortality risk, and the total population who saw an average of 27% reduction of mortality risks. So it seems like the research indicates that doing about 7,500 steps per day on average achieves the bulk of the reduction in common cause mortality. Think cardiometabolic, heart attack, stroke, and diabetes, with additional incremental health improvements beyond the sweet spot. So we do this, a lot of us do this at the telehealth center because we have these walking pads and we are seeing patients 10 hours a day. And when I'm consulting patients, I'm most of the time walking on a treadmill and easily getting miles. And I got 7.5 miles in yesterday, walking at a slow pace. It wasn't a brisk walk or anything. But it's in that zone 2 stage where you can talk, you can still work, you can type and function, but you're moving your body. So cool study confirming what we already know. But I, the more and more this hits people to like, just make movement your medicine. It doesn't have to be something fancy. It doesn't have to be something expensive. This is completely free and accessible for most people that are able to to walk, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this should encourage everyone that it doesn't have to be some overwhelming, unrealistic routine to, you know, create healthy habits. You know, obviously, I think there's things that we can say all the time. I mean, I know for myself, it's like, oh, I don't have time to do this big workout every single day, but we should be able to get movement in. We should absolutely. And how easy is it not to, too, you know? And there's a saying, a phrase that negligence is intentional too. And so we can be intentional to create those healthy habits, or we can be intentional to neglect them and avoid them too. And something like this is helpful to show you that you don't have to have some complex routine or a trainer. I mean, now granted, those things are helpful for someone who wants to improve their health even greater or has certain goals that they want to hit. I love that. And I think that there are a lot of benefits to doing more high intensity things too, as we've talked about in previous episodes. But this is a great starting point. And especially like you said, Dr. Cole, you know, it's never too late to start. And the data shows that. And it just makes me think of my mom, because my mom is passionate about her steps and getting those in too.
Does she track them?
Absolutely, she tracks them. And, you know, again, looking at that, look at all of the technology, which most of us have some sort of device that is going to track it. I think that, you know, do you absolutely need it? No, because you can kind of figure out what that looks like for your day. But I mean, most of your devices will track that already too. Mm-hmm. So it's, you have these things at hand to see where you're at.
Yeah. iPhones track.
Yeah.
Everybody, not everybody, Apple but Watch, a lot of people
iPhones.
Have them.
Yeah. Most phones now, if it's a smartphone, is going to have some sort of free app that's already on the phone that is tracking it.
Yeah. What do you think, Emily F?
I think I need to get more steps a day. But we have the walking pad, so I have literally no excuse. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like.
But finding those, those right times, right? Like how we take advantage of our lunches.
Yeah.
Or taking advantage of your morning. I think. When I encourage people, I tell people, you know, if they're just getting started, well, what is the most realistic time of day for you? Because some people think, oh, I have to start my morning off with it. And sure, that is a great time to do it. But when do you feel the most energized? When do you feel like, you know, it's going to fit in your time the best? And just start there, because once you start it, it does become contagious. It's like this, you know, I don't want to use the word addictive, but it is. It's like this thing that you're like, oh, I feel good mentally, physically, like, I'm going to the bathroom better. All of these benefits that you start seeing, you're going to want to do it more too.
Yeah. Steps are steps. Doesn't matter when.
Yeah.
If it fits for you at some point, it's better than none. So that's what I've been telling myself. Like because I also would love to do it first thing in the morning too, to get like morning sun and whatnot. But like if that doesn't work,
Does it matter?
I'll just have to make another
Move time.
And because then you'll just get in a cycle of like, oh, well, I couldn't do it in the morning, so I'll just try again tomorrow. But
What's that cliche of not letting perfect getting in the way? It's like, I you don't have to be perfect. Just move your body.
No, and you don't have to have a walking pad. You could go outside. But I mean, even the walking pads, they are very cost effective. I mean, they're affordable options out there for people.
The amount of telehealth patients and other companies, when I have meetings with different brands and things, they'll ask me to send them the Amazon link. Yeah. Afterwards, because it inspires them so much. Yeah. I've like got so many people walking.
I know I have a lot of
pads.
Friends too who got one too. Yeah. So
I need to be sponsored by this dang walking pad
you
company.
Do. Yes, you do.
All right, what's the next hot topic?
This one's been trending for a while. Ozempic. It's been a hot topic for a long time. More and more people are starting to take it, including like I know people personally that are taking it, but now some things are coming out about the long-term effects.
Topic around this is really more and more conversations happening about the side effects of the medication as people are on them longer, more people are on them. So more conversations are being had around these potential side effects and the what are the long-term effects of it and conversations around that. The mounting evidence suggests that, let's look at the most common ones, which is not a secret. This is nothing new, but vomiting, diarrhea, digestive problems, gastroparesis. This is well documented. So it's interesting because I saw that around 10,000 people in the United States are suing Ozempic's maker, Novo Nordisk, Mounjaro's manufacturer, Eli Lilly, for medical injury damages. I don't know what happened with these individual people, but if it's over these digestive issues, I'm sorry, you knew what you were signing up for. It's informed consent. They were not hiding this. Look at me defending the pharmaceutical industry. But I just feel like, look, this is a decision that you're making. This is a potential risk factor. So I don't know about all these 10,000 people, but people are so happy. And I'm assuming they're like, oh, I didn't like this. And you had something that you were told was going to be a potential problem anyways. That's why it's so important to inform yourself. Are you willing to have increased likelihood of these risks? And those are the most common ones. The gastroparesis, the IBS type issues, vomiting, nausea, most common ones. The less common complications of these GLP-1 medications, which it works on that peptide signaling molecule, slowing down gastric emptying, making you feel fuller longer. That's how it works from a mechanism of action standpoint. So think Ozempic, Mounjaro, Wegovy. There's a few other ones that are coming out, done in different ways, but they're all derivatives of this semaglutide, this sort of class of medication. But the less common ones are gallstones, increased heart rate, kidney damage, and pancreatitis, inflammation of the pancreas. The long-term use of this, there's a study out of the New England Journal of Medicine that found that a lot of people more or less were able to take it longer. But outside of the carefully controlled clinical trials, the real life data in the scientific literature, the study out of the British Medical Journal found that out of 589 people who were prescribed these medications for type 2 diabetes specifically, reported the patient dropout rates were 45%, meaning they couldn't take it longer for whatever reason after 1 year, and 65% of people couldn't take it at the 2 year mark. And another study done last year by US analyst Prime Therapeutics, they looked at over 4,000 people. It found that more than 2/3 of patients stopped taking them within a year. So it's a lot of people, whatever reason, it could be the gastrointestinal symptoms. That would be my assumption, that most people dropped out because of that, or they were tired of injecting themselves after a long period of time, like the sustainability factor, for whatever reason. So I'm glad more people are talking about these potential side effects. I'm not an advocate for these medications. My job is to deal with why people are dealing with these issues in the first place. And we in the United States, in the UK, around Western world and beyond, we don't have an Ozempic deficiency. We do not have a Wegovy or Mounjaro deficiency. So let's figure out the massive metabolic problem, how we can fix that, because it is healable, reversible, overcomable. Now, am I a purist across the board? No, I am a deep pragmatist with most things. And some people, they can use it to get their head above water, to get a leg up in the world, to get encouraged by seeing some quick results. I just wouldn't be an advocate for people taking it long-term, and ultimately has to be paired with some lifestyle change.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially since these studies are showing that within a year, most of the weight is coming back if they're not creating these lifestyle changes.
Right.
So I think for me, the concerning thing that one of the studies showed was the long-term side effect of muscle loss too, because I think based on the study, it said about 40% of the weight loss is muscle mass rather than fat.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, that's going to have an impact. You look at middle-aged or elderly-aged people where we need to make sure they have decent amount of muscle mass, because it can be associated with early death. It can be associated with these different issues too. And so I think that could be a huge it should be a huge concern for people who are taking this long term. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing if someone says, oh, I'm just going to be on this for a couple months and uses it that way. But we're seeing a lot of people use it long term. Mm-hmm. So you are putting yourself at a higher risk for these effects. And it's exacerbating that diet culture that, again, we talk about trying to break all the time. Because if you're not creating these lifestyle effects, you do this drug, you get off this drug, your weight comes back, then you're only on this cycle that is hindering your body physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And my thought is, with the muscle loss scene, is it could be the fact that people it's making them feel fuller. So they're eating less food. Yes. They're not getting adequate protein throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I definitely would recommend if someone's on this, making sure you're getting adequate protein, at least 90 grams of protein, high quality, whole food, complete protein, at least that at the minimum.
Yep.
And strength training during this. Like, you can't be just not eating food because you're full because of this medication. And the other side effect that I didn't mention is the increased risk of thyroid tumors that can become cancerous, which isn't as common. I don't want to over-dramatize it and overstate it, but it is a potential side effect of these medications. So hot or not, you know, asking us hot or not, it's a not.
So what do we think?
It's a not.
So what do you think? Jury's out.
Yeah. You know,
I'm on the fence.
We have had many patients though who've come to us who've said, oh, I'm either on this or, oh, I'm interested in this. You know, it's not, obviously we're still working with people. Yeah. We're still, if you're going to look into something like this, you know, I do think you should be working with a health professional who can at least walk you through and help you mitigate these things and help you find healthy lifestyle habits so you don't have to rely on this long term. You know, if you're someone who's taking this or really wants to do this, as Dr. Cool said, to get at least get your head above water, you know, I can't sit here and say stand all be all, like absolutely no, but at the same time, there are other options too. And sometimes, yes, it can help at least move the needle, but work with someone who's going to find the lifestyle changes that will work for you so you don't have to be on this long term. Mm-hmm. But I would still say it's a not for sure.
And we utilize peptides in the clinic for telehealth patients for metabolic issues. And so there is a clinical use for peptides. But yeah, I don't like the overuse of this, the sort of long-term use of it for people. In general. So
do we have time for the audience question? What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Okay. Is it possible to be allergic to some magnesiums, but not others? In the past, I've had a reaction to a blend of powdered magnesium, but I take other magnesium capsules just fine. Are there some people that just shouldn't take certain types of magnesium?
I wouldn't say allergic to some types of magnesium. Mm-hmm. I think that you're noticing, I'm assuming the person that's asking this question is sensitive, like they're having some sort of reaction to it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's a gastrointestinal reaction to it, something like that. But it's probably an additive or the type of magnesium, certain types of magnesium are more stimulating to the gastrointestinal system than others. So maybe a magnesium citrate or citrate is going to stimulate your bowels more than a magnesium threonate. So there are certainly, and that you may notice that, oh, I'm having this literally visceral reaction from a digestive flare-up standpoint, and you're equating that in your mind with an allergy. It's not a true allergy, but it is digestive distress. I would find one that works for you. And then look at the non-active ingredients, like any excipients, fillers, sweeteners, things like that, that you may be reacting not to the magnesium, but to other additives in the formula. I take a blend of magnesium. It's actually the Art of Being Well line. It's at drwillcole.com. I love it, but because it has different types of magnesium, so it has a synergistic effect. But one of the types of magnesium is magnesium threonate, which our nervous system loves that. You can get a flavored version, which it's a lemon lime, which we love it here at the clinic. We all make sort of our magnesium mocktails here. But you can get a plain version too. So you can either get the plain or the lemon lime if sweeteners aren't your thing. So
we say plain, it's literally plain.
Yeah.
So it's magnesium and that's it.
I normally have the lemon lime one, but the other one, I mean, it doesn't taste horrible, but it's magnesium, right?
Yeah,
I
love the lemon lime one.
Yeah.
I'm a berry girl myself, but I love our lemon lime one.
You could get, you can get the plain one and then maybe get some little berry juice.
Yeah. When it comes to like I'll make like a little mocktail, like you said, like a tonic. So I might use the berry electrolytes with the lemon lime magnesium. There you go. And it's like creates this like little combination. It's pretty amazing.
That's such a pro tip. Thanks for
that. No, but you know, I think the one thing I would also ask this person too is, sometimes we can see someone who's overly sensitive to different supplements because of also what's happening within the body too. You know, we see people with mast cell activation syndrome or these different issues, sensitivities because of what's going on as an underlying issue too, that can just make you overly sensitive to
certain supplements.
And so
it.
That's why I also love our magnesium too, because of the L-threonate, it actually helps calm the nervous system which can make it even easier for people to take supplements too. So I think that looking at that, the overall picture can be really helpful too, not just saying, oh, I can't take this one supplement. We often see that, and it's easy to do for anything, like, oh, I just can't have this food because it doesn't work for me. Well, a lot of times it's not the food that's the problem, it's the body that's the problem. So if you heal the body, then you should be able to handle these certain things too, but you might just have to find the right kind of magnesium that's going to calm your system. Yeah. And it's never one thing too, right? You know, go see a professional, get some lab work done to see what's going on and what your body needs to calm down so that way you can handle these things too. So that's just something that we've noticed too.
And start off low and slow. I would agree that magnesium deficiencies are ubiquitous. You probably need it. Getting it from food first, obviously, but supplementation can be wonderfully helpful because of the way that our soil microbiome is, the nutrient density of food. I find that people that are focusing on food, yes, they should be doing that, but their magnesium RBCs on labs are still not optimal because of the state of our food supply and the demand of the stress that the body's under, like Emily's saying, that it's sometimes the expenditure, because our body's inflamed and dysregulated and not absorbing nutrients as optimally, we are spending more than we're taking in. So focus on food, but filling in the gaps with these really key supplementation can be very much beneficial. You will notice. I was trying to think of a word there, but so good.
So good.
So yeah, that was the question, right?
Yep, that's
it. All right, everybody. If you want to learn more about all the things we've talked about today, our clinical work, the telehealth center, all the magnesium and everything, everything's linked on the show notes. Just go to drwillcole.com for all the information. See you next time. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.